Yo, 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 it's episode 129 of the Courtside Crossover with me, Chris Partee. As always, we're brought to you by FullPressCoverage.com. Go over, check us out on the Full Press Coverage app, as well as Podbean and every other major podcast platform you can find. You'll catch me on Twitter, Instagram, and Blue Sky at Chris Partee. All right, we are now getting into the home stretch of the NBA regular season. We're down to where most teams got about 10 games left. Got a couple weeks until the play-in postseason coming up. I want to get into that. Then also I want to talk about the end of a dynasty and what looks like to be exactly that in Golden State. And then also, lastly, I will touch on briefly on what seems like another end, and that is Ben Simmons. But first, I want to talk Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors. Now, Draymond Green suffers another ejection. I think this was Tuesday night. Wednesday night. And there's a clip here of right when the ejection is announced, Steph Curry is, it looks like he's crying. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It looks like he's red in the face and he just looks frustrated. Draymond gets ejected. And you can see Steph Curry on the sideline, face is red, puts his jersey over his face. What this looks like to me is a man that knows the end is that. That's what this looks like. He knows that the end is finally here. They won a title 2 years ago, and since then, nothing's gone right. They came back to defend their title last season, didn't go as planned. Got into the playoffs. Through the play-in, and were then knocked out in the second round by the Lakers. And now this season, Steph really seems to be the only one that has enough left to make any kind of a run. And it's really sad. As someone that wasn't necessarily a Warriors fan growing up, but grew up in the Bay Area, I know a lot of people who are Warrior fans, friends, family, whatever. And, I would tell them, years ago, enjoy this run. Everyone thinks their run is going to last forever. And like, you can just make tweaks and keep coming back. No, these guys get older. Players get older. The rest of the league evolves. Teams get better. Teams caught up to the Warriors. They just did. They caught up to them. And the Warriors have gotten older. And it just felt like watching that scene with Steph Curry and him just frustrated at another ejection for Draymond Green. He knows it's over. It's over. He'll be there next year. Draymond Green, it doesn't feel like he's going to be there next year. We don't know what's going to happen with Klay Thompson, because Klay Thompson, he's not the same player he was. He's just not. Even Andrew Wiggins is not the same player he was a couple years ago. Ever since he came back last season after taking that time off for personal reasons, Andrew Wiggins has not been the same player. He just hasn't been. He had a career rejuvenation in Golden State. I mean, if not for him 2 years ago, obviously Steph led the way, but he was the second best player throughout those playoffs, and especially in the finals for the Warriors. If they don't have him, I don't know if they have enough to beat the Celtics in six or even get there if it's not for the way that Andrew Wiggins played that year, especially in that postseason. So, I mean, really what this comes down to, it's time for the Warriors to retool. It just really is. And I hate to say it because I like this team. I like this group of guys that essentially came out of nowhere that first championship, 14-15, to win the title. No one expected that. I get there were some things around the circumstances with injuries with Cleveland, but hey, that happens all the time. They won that championship, all right? They won that first one. Should have won the second one, but again, Draymond Green got himself ejected and suspended a game. I mean, if you go back, this has been happening for years with this team, with Draymond Green. And I'm a, as a guy who has followed Michigan State for, you know, going back to the late 90s, early 2000s, I like Draymond Green a lot, but he's cost this team. And I think he'd even be honest. He's pretty forthcoming a lot of times. I think he'd be honest to tell you that he's cost this team sometimes. I'm one of those people that feel like if he doesn't get suspended in that series, the Warriors probably win and they may have five titles. But then again, maybe they never go get Kevin Durant if they win that. So, I mean, who knows? Who knows? What happened, happened. We can't change that. But looking at this team now, it's clear, and we've been hearing this all year, and some just don't want to say it, especially if you have ties to the team or to the area, but you just got to face facts. The run is over. It is. Now, I thought they had a good chance coming off of the championship 2 years ago to make a run last year. That didn't happen. This year, I couldn't see them doing much. I just couldn't. Steph seems to almost be getting better with age. In some aspects, seems to be getting better with age. But everybody else around him, they are aging like most pro athletes age. As you get older, everyone is not LeBron or even Steph. Everyone is not going to continue to get better as they get into their, you know, 30s, you know, mid-30s and so on. Everybody is not LeBron. He's the outlier. That's usually not how it works. Guys aren't still playing at a high level at the age of, you know, 38, 39, 40 most of the time. That's like 90-something percent of the cases. Most guys are even done by then. I don't know if Draymond Green does not return to the Warriors. I don't know where he lands next year. Maybe L.A. because he's got the relationship with LeBron. Some folks think LeBron should be on the way out or could be on the way out. I don't know about that, but I think now somebody will probably take a chance on Draymond. If he wants to play, he may be ready. He's got his next career set up. He's got his broadcasting career set up. He's got his podcast. He's doing all these other things. He's going to be fine. We're still going to see and hear. We're going to hear a lot. When Draymond Green is done on the court, if you're tired of hearing from him now, oh, Lord, trust me. Charles Barkley 2.0. It's going to be a lot of Draymond Green out there. I like Draymond, you know. Now, his behavior gets him in trouble a lot. Would have been nice if he could cut down on some of that. But, I mean, I think he's been a great player for the Warriors. I don't think they win four titles without him because of the role he played and what he allowed and the way he allowed Steph and Clay to play, with Steph not having to really be the point guard in name, yes, or title, yes, but I've always said this. Steph Curry's a shooting guard. He's a two guard. He's always been a two guard. He's always played the two guard. Yeah, he handles the ball, and he can handle the ball, but primarily Draymond's been the guy once Steve Kerr came in, and they implemented that offense, and they let him actually utilize all of his talents and skills. That allowed Steph to play the Reggie Miller role from back in the day. Run guys all over the court and get open for shots. That's really that's Draymond. And then also defensively, obviously. Without Draymond, I don't think they win four titles. I don't think you can just plug anybody into that spot because not everybody has that skill set to do what Draymond has done for over a decade now. Everybody doesn't have that. But I think he may be done soon, definitely with the Warriors. I just don't know how you – it's just going to be hard to bring him back. It's time – they got to move on. You got a young guy like Kuminga who's improving, getting better. He's been, you know, a little banged up lately. But he's part of the future, or he should be. Seems like he is. Andrew Wiggins might – I don't – not sure they bring him back. I don't know what's going to happen with Klay Thompson. He's still a good player by, you know, just looking at NBA players, yeah, he's still an NBA player. He could probably play another few years, but I don't know if he's still that championship guy. He's not what he once was. And when you suffered the injuries that he suffered back to back, it's hard to come back for that and reclaim what you once had. It just really is. So I mean, I think we're seeing the end of a dynasty, end of an era here with the Golden State Warriors. Okay. Now, from one team who seems like it's the end, I want to talk about a team that looks like they're just getting started, the Denver Nuggets. It took them a while, but the Denver Nuggets have finally climbed back into first place. They're officially, well, they're playing right now, actually, against the Suns. And Suns are up right now at halftime, 59-52. I believe they split this year so far against each other. But Denver looks like they are poised to go on a run. And what I mean by that is, as deep as the West is, it's hard for me to see another team out West beating them in a 7-game format. It really is. I wrote about it today or earlier this week. I wrote about that. And I just don't, I'm looking at the teams. Now, mind you, the play-in teams most likely going to be the Kings, Suns, Lakers, Warriors. Rockets are a game back, and the Mavs are only a game up on Sacramento for 7. But if it holds steady, let's say Phoenix gets that number 8 seed and Denver stays at number 1. Denver right now has a full game lead on the Timberwolves, pending, you know, what happens tonight. But as of right now, 1 game lead for the Nuggets. And OKC is only a game back. Both the Timberwolves and Thunder are 50-22. So they're right in there with 10 games left. They got a shot. Either one has a shot still to get to number 1 seed. I think Denver's probably going to hold them off. That's just me. But I think the West should be worried if Denver holds off Minnesota and Oklahoma City. For one, they got the best home record in the West right now. I believe the second best home record in the league overall. Yeah, second best right now overall home record in the league and best in the West are the Nuggets. I think we might be seeing the beginning of a very unexpected dynasty. I mean, the Warriors were really kind of the same thing. No one expected them to win that first one. Now, once they got KD in there, that was a little different. But then no one expected them to win another one after he left. And they did it just, you know, 3 years later, whatever it was in 22. So no one saw that dynasty coming. I guess you usually don't see dynasties coming. It kind of comes out of nowhere. But the Nuggets, I think some more than others, though. The Nuggets, I think, could be. And it's hard to repeat. It really is. And it's hard to go on a long run, sustained run, and win multiple titles over, you know, 5, 10, 15, hell, 20 years, whatever it is for some team, for some franchises. But I'm looking at the West. Even if they get the Lakers or the Warriors in the first round, I don't think either one is prepared in the 7-game format. A game here, game there, yeah, but in the 7-game format, same goes for the Kings. I like the Kings. I really like what they've got there and what they've got up front with Domantas Sabonis. Yeah, I like that squad. I wrote about Sabonis the other day and how he should be mentioned amongst the best centers in the league. Not saying he's the best, but I think he should be up there as far as the best big men, a.k.a. centers in the league. And you rarely hear his name mentioned in there. I think he should be up there. He just set a new record for most consecutive double-doubles. He passed Kevin Love. I think it's 54 in a row now, or 55. But I don't think even in a 7-game series, as long as the Nuggets are healthy, Jamal Murray, Aaron Gordon, you know, been a little banged up. I think Aaron Gordon actually played tonight in their game. Jamal was still they were both questionable going in. But just looking at the Nuggets, if they're just primarily healthy, and even when some of their guys have been out recently, they've still been winning. As long as Nikola Jokic is out there to direct traffic, move guys around, get them in their spots, get them the ball in their spots, and because he's going to do his thing scoring and rebounding. You got to take something away from Nikola Jokic. He's one of those guys. And it's hard because he's so big and he's got great vision. So it's hard to say, okay, we're not going to let him get the other guys involved. You know, we'll let him score 30 points and get 12 rebounds, but we can't let him have 8, 10, 12 assists. It's hard to do that. And then it's hard to stop him down low from scoring. It really is. It's tough. I don't care who you have. It's hard to stop him. He gets out there. He does pretty much anything he wants. He has his way whenever he wants. And he doesn't have to beat you by scoring 40 points. That's the thing about him. Doesn't have to be scoring. He can score 19. He probably going to have if he only scores 18, 19 points, he probably has a triple-double, most likely. Because he also had 14 assists and 11 rebounds or whatever. However you want to maneuver that. I'm looking, and, you know, if they end with the number one seed, the 4-5 matchup right now are the Clippers and Pelicans. I no longer trust the Clippers. I haven't all year. They've disappointed me the previous 3-4 years. I just don't trust them anymore. I don't trust them. They played the Sixers tonight, pulled out a win, but that's fine. I don't trust them in the postseason. It's hard to trust them. Pelicans, young and upcoming. I do think the Clippers get out of that series, though. I give you that. And now the Clippers, in my opinion, I don't think they want to play Dallas. Because say what you will about that team. I haven't been big on the Mavericks. But the dynamic they have with Luka and Kyrie. And just going based on how pretty much every time since he almost got into the league that Luka plays the Clippers, he cooks them. And I'm not just talking about when he's not guarded by Kawhi or PG. When they guard him, he cooks them. He cooks that team. I think he just lives to play against the Clippers because he cooks them just about every time I've seen them play, seen Luka against the Clippers. I'm not saying I've seen every single game of his career against the Clippers, but I've seen quite a few, especially in the postseason. He cooks them. He just does. And then you got James Harden out there. What was it last week? He tried to defend Kawhi after passing it to him in the corner. And he's just doing all kind of crazy stuff. I mean, Russell Westbrook is back. That helps a lot. He's been great for them. And he it's rejuvenated his career after the debacle with the Lakers last couple years. But I just don't trust the Clippers. Everybody was so enamored with them in December and January when they were winning on a streak with Harden. And I'm like, dude, I'm just not that easy to impress, I guess, after, you know, 5 or 6 games or 20 games, whatever it is. It's like, y'all got to show me because I have watched James Harden for a lot of years now. And I know some people get tired of hearing it, but we know what happens with him in the playoffs. Now, a lot of that was when he was the main guy. But even when he's not so much the main guy, like he wasn't in Brooklyn or he was hurt there a lot, Brooklyn or definitely last year with the 76ers before getting traded early this season to the Clippers. He fades. The further his teams go in the postseason, he's going to start to fade somewhere around the middle of that second round series or the end towards the end of it. But by the conference finals, he's not going to be the same James Harden. Don't blame me. This is just what we've seen. This is what we've seen out of James Harden. Okay, so that could be a Nuggets, because I think the Nuggets, whoever they play, honestly, even if it's the Suns, I think they get out of the first round. Clippers, Pelicans, whoever it is, face the Nuggets. They go down in 5 or 6. Then you got the Nuggets back in the conference championship. That's how I see it playing out. And it doesn't matter if it's Minnesota, OKC, Dallas. Doesn't matter, in my opinion. Or one of the playing teams. Doesn't matter. Whoever goes up against them, against Denver, in the conference finals, I think Denver gets past. Unless just something catastrophic happens over there. Yeah, I don't see a team in the West that in a seven-game format, I don't see a team in the West that can take down Denver, primarily healthy. And I love the fact that they went out, you know, in the offseason and they got Reggie Jackson. I thought Reggie Jackson was a big factor many times for the Clippers the past few years. I think he's going to be the same thing or do the same thing for the Nuggets in the postseason. I really do. I think he brings a little extra, just in my opinion, a little extra oomph for the Nuggets. And now, mind you, Reggie Jackson's 33. I mean, he's been in the league for a while now. Sometimes I forget that he was part of, you know, OKC years back, even when Westbrook, you know, with Westbrook and Durant. He was young. He was really young, but he was there for a little while. That's how far Reggie Jackson goes back. I mean, he's been balling for a long time in the NBA. He's been a very good player, not a star, but a very good, he's been a solid role guy, role player for many, many years. And I think he's going to give you one or two games in the playoffs where he just goes off. And at least a game, a series, depending how far they go. And I think they're going to go far. Depending how far they go, he'll give you at least a game, a series where he just makes a huge impact. It may not even necessarily be scoring, but he's going to be there. He's going to make some plays. So, yeah, I don't see a team that's going in the West. East, Boston's pretty good. I still don't know what to make of the Bucks. Anybody knows me knows I'm not a big fan of Doc Rivers. I think he's gotten a lot more credit as a head coach than he probably really should. I don't want to call him overrated, but hey, you know, you can fill in the blank right there. But in the West, Minnesota fans are hyped up. I get it. I'm happy for him. But even before Karl Anthony Towns went down, I wasn't sold on them going deep, like conference finals. I just wasn't, and I'm still not. Definitely not without Cat, but even with him, I was like, eh. Because I know what a lot of teams are going to do with Rudy Gobert, which is most likely going to render him useless in a lot of these playoff games. It just is. That's put him in a pick and roll defensively, get him on the perimeter. He's great inside defensively. Anything outside that box, that key, nah, you don't want him out there. Well-coached teams are going to abuse him. We've seen it for years going back to Utah. Well-coached teams will abuse him. It's inevitable. So, yeah, Nuggets, again, we might be seeing the next dynasty here. Or at least a team that could repeat this year, which is hard to do. Which is hard to do. As deep as the West is really tough. I just think the Nuggets are the most complete team all around. Most complete team. They don't have the most star power, but they're the most complete team. Phoenix is very top heavy. Very top heavy. So, and to me, Phoenix is kind of underachieved this year. Let's just be honest. They couldn't get their big three on the court together for months. Now they finally have now, but I think it's a little too late for them to make a run. Now I'm not saying they can't. I think honestly, if they're going to get out of the first round, they need to get that 7 seed and avoid Denver, as long as Denver's in the 1 seed. Avoid Denver at all costs, in my opinion. You avoid Denver at all costs. That's what I think for any of those playing teams. Because I think you got a shot against Minnesota, especially with Karl Anthony Towns out, if he's not able to go. I think it was his meniscus he hurt. So, yeah, exactly. So you don't want Denver in the first round. You don't want to fall to the 8 seed. You just don't want that. Denver's going to be tough. And again, looking through the West, just really go. I want you to go take a look yourself. Look up and down the Western Conference. Look at the standings. Realistically, just be honest. Who do you see beating Denver? If Denver's primarily healthy, got their main guys, in a 7-game format, which one of those teams is going to beat them? I don't see one. I don't see a team there in the West beating them. The Clippers may come the closest, but I can't trust the Clippers anymore. They have, in the playoffs, they just have these mental lapses, in my opinion, sometimes. You know, they were a team that was, you know, supposed to be known for defense, and sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's there, sometimes it's not. But Kawhi's older, so is PG. And Kawhi's had so many injuries, like lower extremity injuries. He just can't. He's not the defender. I mean, he's just older, for one. But he can't do it up and down the court for, you know, 30, you know, in the playoffs, 35 minutes, 40 minutes sometimes. He just can't. He can't. And also, he has such a heavy scoring load now. You know, once he became a scorer some years back, you kind of shift that. It's like, I can still defend, but if you want me to also score 23, 24, 25 plus points a game, I can't do it both ways like that. Not every night. And sometimes you need that. PG is still very good defensively as well. But again, not like he once was when he was younger. It's just a matter of aging in the NBA. That's really what that is. That's all that is. But other than the Clippers, OKC outside shot. I just think OKC is young, and we know in this league, really young teams, they don't necessarily go the farthest and win. Now they could get out of the first round, because right now they would play Dallas. I think that'll be tough, though. I think that'll be real tough. Right now, they would play Dallas. They could get out of the first round and get to the second round, but then they run up against the 2-7 winner, whoever that may be. That could end up being even the Lakers or Minnesota, and that's going to be tough, too. But again, if there's no Cat, OKC probably would be fine. But then you run into the Nuggets in the conference finals, I think it's a wrap. I think it's a wrap. I just think they're too young. We don't see a lot of young teams winning NBA championships, so I don't think they're quite. I don't think they are there just quite yet. But they have a nice young nucleus. They got a lot of dudes there. They, like, for real. They got some dogs over there. I just don't think it's their time yet. It may be soon. I just don't think they're there yet. But congrats on a 50-win season. The top three teams, you know, 50-plus wins right now in the West. So Denver is the team to beat. That's all I'm saying. I would be really shocked if they went out before the conference finals, Denver. Conference finals, I give, you know, someone else an outside shot, but I'd be surprised, especially if they're healthy, if they went out before the conference finals. And they really should be, in my opinion, they should get back to the NBA finals. Just my opinion. All right, so I'm sorry, I got to end it on a little bit of a negative note here tonight. We're going to go from something positive and a team on the way up to not a team, but a player this time who it looks like it's the end, and that's Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons got roasted by Shaq recently. I mean, essentially said, he made a joke to the effect of, I would love to learn how to make 80 million and play 55 games. This is, you know, and really what he said was Ben, and quote, Ben Simmons, because I would want to learn how you could make 80 million and play 55 games. He was asked a question pertaining to such. And Ben Simmons was his answer. Oh, man. Ben Simmons has played 15 games this season. 15 games. And back issues. Some people might call it heart out there in Brooklyn. 15 games for the Nets this year. His heart has been questioned plenty of times in the past. Going back to Philly. We know the game seven a few years back against Atlanta. No, we are not. We're not going to rehash that again. We've talked about that. I've talked about that enough. Written about it, talked about it for the past few years. But this dude can't even get on the court. I mean, it's really sad because for those that don't know, right? If you go back to when Ben Simmons was coming over here, he went to LSU for a year and coming out, this dude was compared to Magic Johnson and LeBron James. Really Magic Johnson. But I heard LeBron thrown out there a few as far as the way he played and what he potentially could turn into. LeBron James and Magic Johnson. Those were some comparisons that Ben Simmons got because of his size at 6'10", playing point guard, being able to run and see the floor and find guys on the move. Never developed a jump shot, but that was okay. Jason Kidd came into the league without a jump shot. Similar type of game. Pass first point guard. Could score. Couldn't shoot until late in his career. Ben Simmons has never developed a jump shot. Jason Kidd eventually developed one. Go back to his days with the Mavericks. Okay. And maybe even some of his later stages before that, right before that with the Nets. But go back to those days later in Jason Kidd's career. He became a pretty good, just set feet together. Not a pretty looking shot, but he could shoot it. Right? Okay. Ben Simmons never, I don't want to say he never worked on it because I don't know. I'm not around Ben Simmons 24 hours a day. I don't know. But if he did work on it, it just never stuck. It doesn't feel like he ever really worked on it, on shooting. And not that everyone needs to become Steph Curry as a shooter, but passable, right? Be able to shoot and be confident enough to shoot consistent jump shots. That's all. That's all people ask. That's it. That's it. That's honestly, that's all teams want. Because once you develop that reputation, kind of like Draymond Green, where we're just going to leave you open and you got to shoot it. That's one of the other sad things about Draymond Green is he was shooting at three much better this year. He just can't stay on the court. But Ben Simmons, he can't get on the court for other reasons. 15 games this year. And he's long been ruled out for the rest of the season. He ain't coming back. I think Ben Simmons is done. I was saying this a while ago, though, honestly, that Ben Simmons' career is probably done. Like, we've seen the best of Ben Simmons. It's never going to get better. It's not. He's only going to continue to get worse. I think he might be done. Now, the reason will probably be the back injury, but we've seen guys come back from probably, I don't want to judge somebody's injury, but we've seen guys come back from what's probably worse than what Ben Simmons is dealing with. I think it's also a confidence thing. And then when you got guys like Shaq, legends in this league, in the NBA, just ragging on you, because it really comes off as, there's some that won't say it, I think a lot of NBA players, current and past, I think a lot of them look at Ben Simmons and think he doesn't have a lot of heart. I really do. I think that's how they look at him. Some won't say it. Some will just come out and say it. But it's obvious that he's someone, not the only one, but it's obvious that he never really loved basketball. I've always felt like Ben Simmons is one of those guys who, he was tall, athletic, long, was told you should probably play basketball. He got on the court and he was good. He was good enough, I should say. was good enough because he had the size as well. And he hit the genetic jackpot, as I like to say about pretty much all of these guys. They hit the genetic jackpot, most of them. Some guys actually had to, you know, really work to get a lot better. Not everyone was highly rated, you know, top 50, top 100 in the country in high school. That wasn't everybody, but it's a lot of them that make the NBA. A lot of those guys are in the NBA. Not everybody, but a lot. So, but I think Ben Simmons is just one of those guys where he never really loved basketball, but he loved what playing basketball provided him, which is which is celebrity, because, you know, largely because of social media, and a nice life. I really think that was Simmons's MO, is that I could play basketball, make a lot of money, get girls, have some fame, play for, you know, 10 years, whatever, and be out. I think we're approaching that. Came in the league in 2016, missed that first season, but I mean, we're quickly approaching that decade mark for Ben Simmons. We are. We really are approaching that mark for him. And I think he's almost done. I'm not saying he won't try to come back next year, but if he comes back next year and only plays, you know, plays less than 30 games, it's a wrap. It's a wrap. And I don't think there's any guarantee that he comes back next year. I don't. He's got his money already. NBA guaranteed contracts, they can't take anything back. You can say he got a back injury. I can't play no more. I'm not saying that that would not actually be the reason, but that might not actually be the reason. But who's to say? So, I mean, it's sad when you see a guy that was this good and had so much potential to be so much more. Like, he could have been so much more. Again, comparisons to Magic Johnson, LeBron James, guys like that. I mean, we're talking about a lot of people have both of them in their top five of greatest all time. He got comparisons to those guys. It hasn't nearly panned out that way. The whole process thing, Sixers, did not work. And the last three years now or so, it feels like it's been much longer that Ben Simmons has been on this downward spiral, but it's only been a few years, honestly. And now he just can't get on the court. He played 33 games last year. He played 42 games last year, started 33, played 15 this year, started 12. And the year before that, 21-22, didn't play. Hold out, back injury. I mean, what can you say? I mean, talk about one of the most disappointing careers of a guy that really, by this point of his career, should have been one of those guys like, all right, yeah, he's a Hall of Famer, or like, he's right there. He got to do, you know, one more thing, or, you know, win a championship maybe. He ain't even close to that. Oh, man. Ben Simmons, man. Good luck to you, dog. Good luck. All right. That's going to do it this week for the Courtside Crossover with Chris Partee. As always, presented by FullPressCoverage.com. Check us out on the Full Press Coverage app, as well as Podbean and any other major podcast platform. Find me on Instagram, Twitter, and Blue Sky at Chris Partee. I'm going to check you out real soon. Peace.